the clock has started.
Pixel Life. This is episode 134, recording April 6, 2021. My name is Zach Anderson, and this week we are going to discuss some more trailers. Big addition to Game Pass, games of the month from both PlayStation and Xbox, some Winter Soldier action, and some Easter shenanigans. And to do that, I have the murderer of chocolate bunnies, Mr. Shannon Moore.
Oh, dude. I don't know about you, but like for Lent, you know, you give things up for like 40 days and 40 nights because of Catholic guilt.
So first off, no, but all right, I'm with you.
So, you know, I gave up soda for 40 days and 40 nights, which is fine. I went on like a soda bender on Easter Sunday and then ate myself silly. And my body the next day, oh boy, it was like a fire sale coming out that beehole. So, yeah, I got the Easter Bunny wrecked me this year, man.
That's the thing when you get older, like the food hangover is a real thing. Like,
yeah, it was like legit. Like, I mean, and I didn't even talk about like ham. Like, I'm just talking, like, just all the other accoutrements that went along with it.
So would you say you went ham on it?
Yeah. It's some of it's still in my large intestine working its way down. My farts have been real this week, dog. It's oof, just insane.
Well, I'm happy you're two cities away from me. So, anyway, also joining us is the dyer of eggs and the cracker of shells, Mr. Justin Tim Carter. Justin.
How's it going, my dudes?
I didn't think you were with us for a second. I was like, what is happening?
Long pause for dramatic effect. I get it.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, dude, it's been... Zach was telling before about how it's been a day. Yeah, for me, it's been a week so far. So... I was like, some of you may or may not know, I do have four huskies, one of which loves to eat rocks. She does it about every other month. Normally she eats rocks and then spends a day puking them all up. And then the next day she's completely fine, except...
So she's like a Triceratops in Jurassic Park that's just eating stones to help her digestion?
Yeah. You
know? So, yeah,
pretty
okay.
much. And then so Saturday, you know, she was puking up rocks. And I was like, oh, man. I was like, well, you know, hopefully she puked them all up and then she'll be fine tomorrow. And so Sunday morning came and she was still not acting fine. So I was like, fuck, dude, we have to take her to the vet. So then we took her to the vet, had to get x-rays. She had rocks in her stomach and one rock that they said was about the size of a human palm in her intestine.
Oh.
And so they had to operate Saturday night on her to remove all of that. And then Sunday evening, we finally got her back. And so then I took off Monday and Tuesday, which is today, and had to basically like watch her and finally got her to eat food today and stuff. And she's been doing good. She hasn't really thrown up today where she was kind of throwing up last night, some in her crate and stuff. Yeah. So.
That's a bummer, man. Does she get to wear the cone of shame?
So she was wearing the cone when we went to pick her up, but I don't know. We're not really cone people in the house. Like,
did the other three like liberate her as soon as she got in the house? They were like, get that cone off you.
Exactly. They narfled the Garth Hawk.
They're like miserable with the cone. Like, she cries and like she's like sitting there like a shovel, like scooping everything up off the floor with it and stuff and banging into everything. It's like, dude, she's just like hurting me more than anybody else with the cone. So I'm just like, as long as watch her, make sure she doesn't lick anything, I'm like, I think we'll be fine.
Well,
so much excitement.
I would say maybe you cursed her when you named her Atlas. That was kind of there's foreshadowing there. Is, you know.
You know, there was also, there's a lot of knowledge in this whole conversation, like, just about Justin's dogs, but also the fact that, like, Zach, you pulled out the fact that a T-Rex eats rocks to help its digestive system. That's a deep cut. You know your son is dropping, like, a substantial amount of knowledge into your life.
I was going to say, like, when you have a child as Jurassic Park obsessed and dinosaur obsessed as mine is, you just acquire this through osmosis. Like, sure, I read Jurassic Park a few times in the course of my life, but like my son, who has never read the book, he can read, not at that level yet, though. When he just drops these lines and knowledge on me, and I'm like, you've never read this book, man. How are you even knowing that this is part? Because it's not like it's part of the movie, you know? But, oh, yeah. And if you're curious, in the movie, that's why the Triceratops is sick. That's why. Because it's eating the berries, even though they're like, oh, there's these poisonous plants, but they don't eat them. The berries get in with the rocks, and they eat the rocks to help their digestion.
Oh, okay. And okay.
They puke the rocks back up.
Gotcha. Good to know.
No, I know no one cares, but
the only thing that people are going to care about is the fact that I said T-Rex instead of Tyrannosaurus.
and you just did it again.
Yeah. Triceratops. My bad. Justin, Triceratops, T-Rex, whatever.
Well, the thing is,
add it to the list.
when you're a dad, you only have the bandwidth of like what your kid's obsessed with. So if we were discussing car models, I'm sure you'd be all over it. You'd be like, you idiot, you said Nova when that's obviously a Camaro. Like, what's wrong with you, you know?
Yeah. My son's taking a hard left right now. We're shying away from cars, and he's going hard into Peter Rabbit.
Just a season.
So we'll see. We'll see how long he sticks with it. But right now he is totally enamored with the movie. The part where the guy is getting electrocuted because Peter Rabbit has taken the electric fence and applied it to like every doorknob in the guy's house. Yeah, he thinks that's hilarious. So.
Well, that's horrifying. So, you know. So I had an interesting development, speaking of Easter and Easter mornings. So as part of the basket, the Easter Bunny brought the kids. They each had three packs of Pokemon cards in them. And the Easter Bunny brought them binders so they could start putting their good cards in the binders and all that and look at them like a book. And they were both very excited about this development. And while they're opening their packs, they noticed that some of them were foil, like the picture. But then there were some where the entire card was foil, and they didn't really know what was going on with that. And to be honest, I don't follow Pokemon cards close enough to really know what the deal with that either. So my wife's sitting there looking up the cards, looking up the variants, looking up all this stuff to see if they're like special or worth anything. I mean, we got a card that's worth like $7. There's nothing amazing came out of these packs, you know. But all of a sudden, my wife is going, oh, well, this card means this, and this card is that, and this is, and I'm like, wait a minute, wait, I know this tone, you're getting into this, like, and she's like, no, and I'm like, we can go to Gator Games, like, right now, and get a box of cards, if you want to sit down and rip some packs, like, you don't have to ask me twice, like, we can go, and she's like, I don't want, no, we shouldn't do that, like, and then, pressing a little harder, it becomes very obvious that like we shouldn't do that because this would like kick open the floodgates for my wife. Like she like the bug had gotten her of like, oh, these foils and these specials and rares and uncommons and blah blah blah. So what I'm saying is when Justin shows up in July, we're getting a box of cards and we're doing this.
I was gonna say the only thing that meant the only thing holding her back from actually saying yes, buy a box is the fact that if she opens those floodgates, then there is a perfect excuse for you to start getting back into Magic.
Yep. Well, and the cost of the cards. It's not like it's a cheap endeavor. If it was $50 for a box of cards, I probably would have gotten a box of cards. You know, like, but I'm just saying, if we're the three of us went in on a box of cards and we were all ripping packs in my garage, throwing it out there, it's an idea, you know. But yeah, I found it a very humorous, interesting development that I did not see coming, because she's never really shown interest in that sort of level of collecting before. And to see all of a sudden that like spark ignite, and I'm like, oh, I know that look. That like, oh yeah, yeah, that one is shiny, but that one's a different kind of shiny. Well, I wonder what's in that next pack. Who knows? We better open it and find out. You know, like it was all there. So Justin, I figured you'd appreciate that development.
I do. You're like, man, you're like, you think this is cool. You're like, there is a box that contains about 36 of these bad boys all in one.
Exactly. Oh man. But yeah, so how were your guys' Easter other than well, I know how Justin's was. It was yeah. Spent at a vet's office, so unfortunately. By the way, I had a bulldog named Atlas. I love that name. It's a great name. So shouts out to Atlas. Hope she feels better. pour one out. But the Shannon, the Easter Bunny, good to you?
To me, sure.
To Colin?
No. Yeah, we had a good showing. I got all of my nieces and nephews to do an Easter egg hunt together, and they're all within maybe 8 months of each other, so like they're all in that teenager, like full on, just like, I'm gonna give you all the attitude and you're just gonna take it because you love us.
You're a little too old for the tantrum, but a little too young to not have the full on tantrum.
Yeah.
You know, they're right in that sweet spot.
Yeah, and they're also like right in that like, let's play rough with everything and just break it if like we don't know how to like fix it or, you know, maneuver it.
Including their own like fucking arms and shit. Like, you know, it's like, do you understand? You will break your leg if you keep doing that. Like, what are you?
Mad. Yeah, like concussions. Anyway. Like they don't understand that. So I mean, like Easter, the Easter Sunday itself, like just kicked my butt. Like I was in bed at like 7:30, like no joke. Like my son went down and I was like, I'm just gonna lay in bed for a minute. I woke up, it was like midnight. I'm like, son of a bitch. So yeah, you know,
you're still in your clothes. You're like, damn it.
Pretty much. Like just pulled the weighted blanket over me, just get like that 15 pounds of pressure, and I was just like, dead to the world. So good.
All right, so we should have a discussion though before we move off of Easter Sunday. Let's rank Easter candies.
Oh, one's got to be Peeps, right?
For some people love them.
Nah, dude, it's I'm all not about one of those people. I'll tell you right now, top of the food chain's got to be the Reese's peanut butter eggs.
Mm-hmm. Over the Cadbury cream egg?
Yeah. Fuck yeah. Cadbury cream egg is maybe in the top 10, but like at the bottom.
Now, see, I'm going to make an addendum. The miniature Cadbury cream eggs are like a top 5. Because okay, the I'll thing is, it's like the full size ones are messy as hell and like, you know, it's almost too much. It, you know, like I love that first bite and then it falls like I'm over it.
Yeah.
When you can just take the little like Hershey egg sized ones and pop them in your mouth, that's gold, right?
Yeah. After about like two bites, I'm like, why did I get the full size one?
Exactly.
This is a mistake.
Justin, where do you rank in on the Easter candy?
So for me, I don't really eat a lot of chocolate. Like, I have to be in the mood for chocolate. And I don't particularly like Whoppers, but the little Robin eggs.
Oh, yeah.
They're, like nice and crunchy, ones? And they get, like, stuck in your fucking teeth, and you're sitting there, like, tonguing the shell of the egg out, like, for an afternoon. Like, I love those. And, like, Starburst, like, jelly beans and stuff are really good. I don't really care for, like, the normal jelly beans, but the Starburst, like, or Jolly Rancher ones, like, whatever kind of, like, sweeter jelly beans, I really like those.
Is See's Candy nationwide? Do you know?
We have a See's here.
Okay.
We only have, like, I think a couple, but...
So I know they're based out of the Bay Area, but I don't know if they were, like, a nationwide thing or not. But, so See's for Easter makes like a jelly bean with like little white dots all over them on the outside. That's probably my number one.
like those things I've loved ever since I was a little kid. And it's like the only time of year I get them, and or it's the only time of year they make them, I think. But it's like that shit's just pure crack. Like, it's like I roll into season, I'm like, yeah, how big of a bag do you have? Can you fill it with these, please? Like, it just, yeah.
Yeah, my sister lives maybe like 5 minutes away from the C's, like the main C's factory over in like San Bruno, like in
Daly City. South City, the South City one.
And like that, like when they hit like probably like December, like time frame, getting ready for Easter, like it is dangerous to be over in that neck of the woods. Like the smell is just everywhere.
It's intoxicating for sure.
Yeah, yeah, and, you gain like 10 pounds just breathing.
And you know what's, we're like literally across the street from that place is one of the best taquerias in the entire peninsula, which is El Farolito on El Camino right there.
Oh, yeah, I've heard of that name. I haven't tried it yet.
It's one of the taquerias where you're like, yeah, I'll get some like carne asada nachos, and they hand you the like 10 pound box, and you're just like, oh God, what did I just do? You know, and then you.
What did I sign up for?
Yeah. You signed up for a big meal and some pain, but you finish it because it tastes that damn good. Like,
I'm gonna take four Lipitor and I'll be.
Yeah. <totally. laughs> and just leave me alone. I need some quiet time. With yeah, this
I know,
box.
Right?
Yeah.
And yeah, give me like 3 days, like four atorvastatin, and like, you know, just a lot of bathroom time. I'll be happy.
I feel like I'm Homer Simpson with the sandwich.
Oh, you know? Yeah.
I just need some alone time with the nachos.
Don't take it out of the trash can, but it's so good.
Oh, I can never stay mad at you. all right. I guess we should move off of random Bay Area foods. No one cares. So something happened this week in the world of gaming that I found particularly fascinating. And that is kind of out of nowhere. Microsoft announced that MLB The Show 21, a Sony first-party game, is coming to Game Pass day one. Now, that definitely raised some eyebrows. It got a lot of people talking. And as the story began to develop, what became obvious was, I mean, Sony was making a Microsoft version in order to keep the license. That was an agreement they had with Major League Baseball. Was that if Sony was going to keep the Major League Baseball license to do the show, they had to do multi-platform. And they said, okay, because they don't want to lose that cash cow, and said, okay, we'll make an Xbox version for this. And so they did. At which point, Microsoft went, hey, Major League Baseball, the people that actually control this property, what if we paid you some money and we just put it on Game Pass? And the check cleared because Major League Baseball, The Show 21 is showing up day one on Game Pass. And that's a big get for Microsoft. A lot of people play that game. I mean, it's, you know, it's not like FIFA where it's like, oh, it's like the only soccer game. I mean, it is the only baseball game, but they actually put a lot of effort to it. Into it, and it shows every year. It does. It's not just roster update 21. And the only way you can get this on the PlayStation 5 is paying $70. Or if you want the PS4 version and the PS5 version, you have to get the Jackie Robinson edition, which is $84. Or you could just get Game Pass and download the game. Like, it. That seems like an insane coup to me. Did you guys have similar thoughts? Because, like, I kind of couldn't believe it.
Yeah, I thought that was a good pull. You know, it would crush Sony's spirits if they did, like, a whole nother Game Pass for 3 months for $3 or something like that, and then threw in that MLB The Show. Like, you would get so much business. It's not even funny. You know, bravo, good job. Thinking outside the box, swooping in, taking some hard work from Sony and riding those coattails. Yeah, Sony. Justin, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, even though I've never played it, it's funny because Megan's brother Kale loves that game to the point where he came over one afternoon and doesn't have a PlayStation, but bought for, I don't know what year it was, probably the 2000 one, like whatever the last one was, bought like the collector's edition, like deluxe edition, whatever, on our PlayStation just to play it for the afternoon. So he, you know, he dropped like $90 or whatever on like this game that he literally can't play except for over at our house.
Jeez.
So it's like the fact, but he has an Xbox, so I know he's probably like super excited for it. But it's like, I guess there's people that love that game enough that, you know, they're willing to, you know, shell out money on other people's consoles for it. So the fact that it's going to be on Game Pass for your like $10.99 a month or whatever it is pretty wild.
Super wild. I mean, the crazy thing to me is Sony didn't respond by adding it to PlayStation Now. Because, I mean, PS Now is, I mean, it's not really a Game Pass competitor, but it's like their service that you can download games and play it. They don't do the first party day one thing or anything like that, but there's a series of games up there. It seems like if there was a time for them to drop a first party title day one on PS Now, it would be now that one of their titles is going to a competitor day one. I mean, yeah, just weird.
Yeah, but, you know, has Sony ever really done anything to, you know, market standards or expectations? I mean, like, they always just kind of do their own thing anyway, and I guess they still feel that they're the market leader, so whatever. If you want it, you're going to buy it on that platform. If that's the only console you have, you're going to buy it anyway, so who cares?
Yeah, I guess. You know, I mean, it makes sense, but if I got, you know, an Xbox One sitting at my house and a PlayStation 5, I don't know how good those graphics need to be to overcome free, you know, like.
No, you're right. This isn't the game that I would buy on my own typically, because these aren't games that I like. But I mean, if it's offered to me inside my subscription service, I'm going to give it a try. And who knows, I might like it and I might stick it out. I might keep playing there. So, you know, that's where I'm going to play it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, it's just one of those things. Like, it seems, like I said, it seems like a lost opportunity for them to pump up PlayStation Now as a potential service. But instead, they're going to put, you know, Avengers on PlayStation Now. And Borderlands 3, a game that has come and went already. But hey, you know, I mean, they are, so we can move to that, I guess. Starting today, April 6th, they're putting Avengers on PlayStation Now. So you can, it becomes the monthly service game that it always seems like it wanted to be. Any interest in starting up a PS Now account to play the stunt doubles of Marvel's Avengers?
Yeah, it's like, now the real struggle is going to be finding three friends who actually want to play that game with you.
Right. Justin, so my thing when I saw it as coming to PlayStation Now, but only until July 6th or July 5th, was Spider-Man must be coming July 6th.
Yeah.
That was my thought.
Probably. I mean, dude, it just seems wild to me that, like, it's taken them, I guess, like, this long to do the, like, if anything, I guess, was going to, quote unquote, save that game, like, to get people to play it. Like, I mean, they should have struck while the iron was hot for, you know, with the Spider-Man, like, movies, like, you know, when that shit was, like, popular and out and stuff. But the fact that it's, like, I mean, might as well just, like, wait till December, I guess, when the new Spider-Man movie comes out to try and, like, cash in on that again.
Well, is Venom coming out soon? The Carnage movie? That was supposed to be come out this year, right?
Dude, I don't know, dude. The timeline for everything's all messed up.
Right.
Yeah, the timetable's all jacked up now.
I mean, yeah, Black Widow should have come out, like, you know, a year ago at this point. So who knows?
This game was supposed to be out with, like, Spider-Man coming out within, like, the first quarter of its release. Mm-hmm. And Spider-Man still isn't in the game. I think Spider-Man is supposed to come out in the fall for this game.
Well, that's what I was saying. It's on PlayStation. It's on PlayStation Now till July 5th, which means Spider-Man probably drops July 6th, would be my guess.
I would put money on it that Black Panther will come out around that time, and then Spider-Man will not come out until almost the end of the year.
Gotcha.
Because I think Black Panther is the next character they said was going to be in the game.
Well, I mean, still a good character. I'd like to play as T'Challa, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's the thing that seems kind of maddening. I want the game to just get cross the $20 threshold, because from everything I've read, the single player game sounds awesome, you know? Like, and it's like, I'd want to play just, like I said, the stunt doubles and go through, go through a single player campaign and never touch the multiplayer. Like, that sounds all right to me, but for $20. So we'll see.
Yeah. $20 is an okay price for that game, I think, for me. I don't know. Like, I think the FOMO is not there for that game.
The FOMO for that game disappeared the second I saw that E3 trailer. And it was just like, if you go back and listen to me and Robbie before they had that trailer, we were just so hyped about Avengers. It was like, oh, like a Destiny style game with the Avengers, and you can team up and like make your own Avengers teams and do missions. Hell yeah. Give me that shit. That shit sounds fucking amazing. And then we saw that trailer and it was just like, oh no.
And then nobody was like,
yeah.
You know, also the fact that I hear there's like no major villains in there, and it's pretty much all robots that you're destroying. There's no henchmen or anything, and it takes place in Utah. Like, there's just so many things that I'm just like, oh no, this is no, not no.
Well, I don't know if you've recovered from last month's Games with Gold with the vicious attack llama, Shannon. I know it took over all your gaming time. That shit show of free games, quote unquote, last month. But this month, you'll be happy to know that the games are Vikings, Wolves of Midgard, which actually isn't that bad. I think they had that for free at one point before, and I played it, or maybe I bought it at some point. I don't remember, but like, I remember playing it and thinking like, it was an all right action game, you know? Mm-hmm. Truck Racing Championship. Dark Void, which was okay for the 360 way back when, and Hardcore Uprising, which I know nothing about. I should start doing a thing where I make up a game and you have to tell me which one is the fake game, because Truck Racing Championship totally sounds like some bullshit I just made up. Like,
yeah, I would rather play Vicious Attack Llama.
It sounds better. I mean, it sounds better, right?
Dude, you can spit on things, probably, I bet you. Like, it'd be awesome.
And unlike last month, which had a combined value of, I want to say it was like $46 or something like that for all four games, this month's combined value is about $130. So, I don't know. Do with that information what you will.
They couldn't take the hit multiple months in a row.
Right.
And Vikings is like $60 of it, so like the other three games take up like $80.
So the thing about that, though, is you can tell they don't care about Games with Gold anymore, which circles us back to the just shelve that program. Like, just stop it. Like, does anyone care? And if they're, you know, give it the PlayStation 3 treatment. The five people that are going to be really upset that they can't buy games for their PlayStation 3 anymore kind of don't matter. Like, just shelve it. You know, like, everyone's moved to Game Pass, because in the Game Pass, they've got Grand Theft Auto 5 coming, and Zombie Army 4, which I don't know anything about. But you've got NHL 21, MLB 21, and then indie games like Rain on Your Parade and Pathway. You know, actual like games that people would play and would like to play.
Yeah, Zombie Army 4 is a game that I was almost ready to pull the trigger on, like on Steam to play, because that game looks pretty cool. I mean, it looks like a, you know, like a Call of Duty, like zombies, but a full scale game. That looked pretty cool. Days Gone, like I bought that for dirt cheap on a Black Friday sale. And now it's free.
Well, that's that's PlayStation. So that's, but that is what I was going to discuss next is Sony keeps coming with PlayStation Plus heat though. Days Gone, good game. Zombie on before, good game. You know, like it's funny to see the priority shift for both of these companies. It's like for Xbox, the priority absolutely is Game Pass and games with gold just kind of go screw itself in the wind. And PS Plus is being, since the drop of the PlayStation 5, has been consistently awesome. And this month is no exception with Days Gone, Oddworld Soulstorm, and Zombie Army 4. Like, those are three good games. I'm like, not great games, not fantastic, but those are all good playable games. Like, Days Gone, for as much problems as it has fun parts. Like the running and gunning and shooting waves of zombies. It's fun. It's good times. But it's, I will probably download all of those.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not Oddworld. I don't know. I'm kind of over the Abe thing, but.
Mm-hmm. No, I'll any definitely of those go jumping through. I'm definitely going to get Zombie Army 4. That's a no-brainer for me. But yeah, like, I don't know, I already have Days Gone, but since I don't have the disc drive for my PlayStation 5, it would be nice to just download the digital copy and not have to worry about it.
Yeah, I'm if I can get a digital copy, I always will, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's, yeah. As I've said on here many times, I hate discs. I hate changing discs, so.
Mm-hmm. And now that my PlayStation 5 is so huge that I can't really put it anywhere except behind my TV, I don't want to reach around behind my TV to put a disc in it.
That's very true. That's very true. That thing is a monster.
Mm-hmm.
I had to literally rearrange the shelves in my living room to make it fit. and even then, it's at like an angle. Mm-hmm. Because if I put it straight back, it would stick over the edge.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. First world problems. Mm-hmm. And, like, if you lay it down, it just looks super stupid because it's kind of, like, skewed on one end. And so it just looks weird.
And that fucking stand they give you with it doesn't do a... If anything, it makes it less stable when you put it in the horizontal position. It's like, yeah.
Yeah, it's dumb. Good job, Sony. Thank
Justin,
you.
Justin, you jumping on any of these deals?
I'm definitely interested, and I think I'm the only one who didn't actually buy Days Gone, but I think it's cool that, you know, that Sony's giving away, like, you know, basically their, like, Sony Presents kind of games. You know, I think God of War, you know, was one that for the PlayStation Collection they gave away and stuff, so it's like, even if it's not, like, the best of, like, the Sony Presents, like, whatever games, it's still better than half of the shit that, like, Games with Gold or whatever is trying to give you and stuff in terms of, like, value-wise anyway.
I mean, like I said, it's no Vicious Attack Llama, but...
What is?
but what is? Yes, exactly. So the, I think, if I'm remembering correctly, I might be wrong, I'd have to look it up, but if I remember correctly that Days Gone had, like, a horde mode type element to it in the multiplayer, which was kind of fun. I hope I'm remembering the same game, because I would totally be down to play that with you guys. And Megan, I mean, hating on us. But
every time.
I mean, Robbie actually has that game, so, like, we could save ourselves some embarrassment there. But, you know. Yeah, I mean, if it's got a horde mode, I'd be down to try it.
Okay. You got that Elgato working yet, Shin?
Yeah.
The I sound actually, and everything?
Yeah, I actually recorded me playing the New Order 2 weekends ago, like, on it. Like, for a solid, maybe, like, 2 hours without any problems.
Nice.
With the two.
Yeah, I know. Stepping into the new world.
Shannon, streaming more, if you will.
It's so weird though. Like, can I just tell you right now, like,
smash that like button more. Like,
being the streamer is just really weird, right? Like, you're just trying to fill, like, you playing and being horrible at this game that you haven't played in forever, like, with weird talk.
And in the middle of it, the whole time, your brain's just going, stretch.
Yeah. Longer. What can I say here? Like, try to get away from the dick and fart jokes.
It's just the sound of Shannon pissing in an empty Gatorade bottle for like 3 minutes.
Yep, that's so true. Just loud farts, like, all over the place too. Like, every once in a while, just, you know, letting one out.
And now you're ready for your career as an Amazon driver, you know?
Too soon?
Are we talking about that? They basically came out and said that people do piss in Gatorade bottles, like, while they're working for Amazon.
Yeah, eat while you're driving.
After denying it.
The workers
were like, this is horrible treatment. They don't even schedule like bathroom breaks. You're just like, and you're penalized for being late or whatever. And so people have to like pee in Gatorade bottles as they're making deliveries. And Amazon's like, that's ridiculous. No, they don't. And then like workers were like, and here's all the receipts. And they're like, okay, so maybe people do. But hey, free 2-day shipping, right? Huh?
Here's my Dookie in a wide mouth Gatorade bottle for you.
Yeah, totally. Like, oh man. This fucking hellscape we live in. Anyway, speaking of hellscapes, shall we discuss some more MCU news and trailers? That Loki trailer dropped.
Yeah, that Loki trailer was dope. Like, I am on board for that Loki. That whole Loki series.
Well, what it reminded me of was how much I love Tom Hiddleston's Loki. Like, that character as it's been written and how he plays it is just awesome every time. Like, every time.
Yeah, I'm wondering, the only thing that I would be worried about that show is it tries to be too meta with its self, you know, like, it'll trip over its own coattails if it just tries to go too in-depth. But I do like the fact that they're taking a variant of Loki from another time stream and bringing him into, like, you know, the main time stream to do what his objectives. You know, the fact that he's going to play as D.B. Cooper and he's going to do all these other things that are like, you know, unsolved mysteries that are actually in this world. You know, the fact that he's going to run into alternate versions of himself. He's going to run into President Loki, like other things like are going to be like in this series. And it seems like in as much as there's going to be like that cloak and dagger aspect of it, there's also going to be plenty of like actual straight up action and wit. Like, I think Owen Wilson it's Owen Wilson, right? I always get the brothers' names mixed up. Yeah. It looks like he's going to play a pretty, like, his acting chops in it, opposite of like such a serious character like Loki, I think is going to balance out that that scheme pretty well. Like, what do you think, Justin?
Yeah, dude, I'm all here for like Time Cop Loki. Like, sign me the fuck up. Like, and the fact that, you know, we only really got like a little bit of him, like at the very beginning of like the whole like Infinity War, like in-game kind of saga and stuff. So it's kind of nice that, you know, we're getting this like alternate version of him. And it's like they can basically do anything. Since, like, you know, when, like, branching from, like, the main timeline and stuff, I mean, if they, like, want to, like, carry on with a season 2 or something like that, like, unlike WandaVision and, like, stuff like that, Falcon Winter Soldier, it's not really constrained to the actual Marvel timeline, so they can take it in any number of, like, directions.
Yeah, if they weren't actually bringing a What If series, like you could almost say that this was going to be their What If type series, right? You know? Because, the trailer looks like he's talking to, I mean, some people have speculated that it could be Black Widow, like alternate timeline Black Widow as a way to get her back in. But the theory I saw that I think makes a lot of sense when you consider all the people he's playing or meeting in the trailer is Lady Loki, who shows up and has a good run in the comics for a while. So like I want those kind of cameos or, you know, little Easter eggs sprinkled. It's like, to your point, it seems like a great vehicle to do all of that. Like a lot of great wink and nod type stuff, you know? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see, like, I mean, how his, how him going to these different threads of time are going to be sewing back up the original time thread. You know, so I'm on board. Like, and, you know, already from the limited trailer that we've seen, it seems more action packed. It seems, I don't know. Something about it just seems like it's firing on more cylinders than like the Captain and Winter Soldier for me. But that's just me.
Well, we've discussed how you're wrong
before. Yeah, I know.
Even after this week?
But we'll get there.
Okay.
Okay, Dad.
Don't make me pull this car over. Okay, so let's do a little weekly consultation. I don't know if you guys are in tune to Apple Arcade. I know Shannon is, but I'm talking to the audience. Don't know if anyone out there is really in tune to Apple Arcade, but they had a week and they kind of broke out a bunch of greatest hits and dumped them all on Apple Arcade, which is a move I didn't really see coming, but I'm kind of here for it. And let me tell you, let's rewind the clock back a couple years, people. And there was a game that came out for iOS, and it was called Threes. Mm-hmm. And it's a very simple game where you slide numbers together to double them up, and numbers keep popping in all around the board as you slide them, and you kind of try to make bigger numbers. That's all the game is. It's very simple. It's incredibly addictive. I had a crushing Threes addiction for about a year until I was finally kicked the habit. And then I looked at Apple Arcade, and new to Apple Arcade was Threes. And I downloaded that shit. And let me tell you, that game's still really good, you guys. I played a lot of Threes in this last week. But there was also Cut the Rope, which is another like iOS classic jam. There was a bunch of them, and it was really kind of cool to see just them highlight like older iOS games. Cause I feel like that's a genre or a market, I should say, that just kind of gets overlooked when it comes to preservation. And, you know, like there were games I played the hell out of 8 years ago that just don't exist anymore. You know, or they exist in completely different fashions that aren't as fun. Like Flight Control was one of those games. And it was just kind of cool to see, you know, Apple use a vehicle like Apple Arcade to kind of bring some of those back and put them back up in front of people, because they're still really good. Cut the Rope's great. Threes is fantastic. So highly recommend that. So I played a bunch of Control. Do we want to talk Control, or do we want to kind of save that for next week when we can kind of get our ducks in a row on that?
Yeah, I think tabling it for next week could be good, because it'll give Justin a little bit more time to catch up, because I know Justin's had a ringer of a week. So, you know, that way it'll give us some time. But I'll just tell you right now.
Yeah, you seem like you're the furthest out. You've made the most progress.
I'm pleasantly surprised with this game.
I am too.
I now feel bad that I slept on this game as much as I did, but my eyes are open now.
Yeah. So far it is my favorite Remedy game since Alan Wake. Like, and it's not even close. Like, it kind of runs circles around everything else they've made so far. But yeah, so I guess that's all I've been playing. What, Shannon, it looks like you just typed words in your outline here. Were you having a seizure when you typed in what you've been playing?
No, I wasn't. It was like you were saying, it not only was it a big week for Apple Arcade with the throwback games, but it was also a big week for Apple Arcade with their new, I guess, releases. So there was a game that that came out for the Apple Arcade. It was primarily for like the Apple TV. Like when it first came out, it was called Wonderbox. And Justin, you like what was it, Toad's Adventure?
Mm-hmm.
For the Switch. So yeah. This game is essentially that, but you have the ability to attack, and there's different puzzle elements in the levels. Usually you'll get a sword and shield, but then you'll get like a grappling hook, or you'll get like a bow and arrow. And basically you have a block. It's a 4x4 block, or, you know, it's just a square block, and it can rotate. And you basically maneuver your way around the level by attacking monsters and, you know, going from portal to portal. It'll take you to another box. And then there's a story that unfolds as you progress through these levels. It's really kind of clunky to play with the touchscreen itself. But I've been playing with a PlayStation 4 controller on my iPhone. And it works phenomenally. Like, it is a great game to just like pick up and play on the go. So that was one of the games that I downloaded this week. Also, I've always wanted to get into League of Legends, or at least try it. So this week they released.
Now, why?
I don't know. Something about it.
Because those games always just intimidate the hell out of me. So I'm curious as to like what attracted you to it.
Yeah, I think that's what it was. Is like, I was just intimidated by those games, but at the same time, it was made, you know, it's made by Blizzard, and I was just like, oh, I do want to try this. The characters look pretty cool. The attacks look cool. There's strategy behind it that I want to see.
League isn't Blizzard.
Is it? I thought it was.
No. Blizzard was like Heroes of the Storm or whatever.
Oh, that's what it was. Okay, I'm getting confused. Okay, so anyway, I wanted to play this game. It's got an esports following. I wanted to see what it's about. So they came out with this game called The Wild Rift, which is basically just their iOS and Android version of it. Okay. But there's no, you know, controller support, and I can see how it would be difficult for that. You know, with the attacks, but you know, you could just go with button mapping for those. So you know, it feels clunky when you're attacking. It feels slow. The initial characters that you can play aren't exciting, and there's a lot of grinding you have to do, and you have to do, it's a lot of PvP, and I was kind of looking for PvE. Mm-hmm. You know, kind of get like just a random pickup group of people to go in and maybe just like play against the computer and see how you do. So I don't think it's something I'm going to stick with, but it gave me a taste of it. And yeah, it's an intimidating game, and I don't think I'm good at it, and I don't think I'm going to stick with it. Another game that came out, was Clap Hands Golf. If anybody likes Hot Shots Golf, that's exactly what it is. Clap Hands is the company that makes Hot Shots Golf.
I'm listening. Listening.
So it's basically Hot Shots Golf for your phone. And they've switched it up a little bit, so it's a little bit more interesting for you. Initially, instead of just having one character that you create and going through a tournament, you have to pick like three characters to play, and then each character plays a hole. So like, you know, if you have a guy that's pretty good, that has like a good long game, like, you know, you're probably going to want to put him on like your par fives. But if you have somebody who, you know, is, they have like a little girl who's like a peewee golf champion, and like, you know, you put her on like, you know, a par three, and she's, you know, typically pretty solid because she's got a lot of control but not a lot of power. So you know, they're kind of switching up the game a little bit. It also does have a, you know, controller support. So the way that they adjust the power with your swing is, you know, kind of depends on how far you pull back the joystick. So, you know, you kind of have to feather, you know, where you want, your power to be with your joystick before you push the ball forward and, you know, hit your ball. It's great. Like, I love Hot Shots Golf. So this is the only thing that has really been occupying my time other than Call of Duty Mobile at this point.
Have you tried it with just with touch controls? Is it playable with touch controls? Or?
I have not, to be honest. Like, the first thing I do now is when I get a game for the iPhone, I check to see if my controller works with it. And if it does, then I play it. And if it doesn't, then I usually just wait until it gets controller support.
Fair enough.
So those were the games that I played this week. Other than Control, you know, I don't want to talk too much about it. But like I said, I mean, I thought I was going to go into this game hating it and or like, you know, at least, you know, being a little put off by it. But like it's like a warm sweater. Like everything just feels so good about it. Like so comfortable.
And really, once you start opening up the powers, the game gets really fun. Like the combat in that game gets really good once you
when I opened up the telekinetic powers, I was just like, this is awesome. Like I'm in.
and I love that Remedy kept the insanely random full motion videos throughout the whole thing, as you like find a TV to interact with and turn it on, and it's always the most insane shit like you've ever seen. Like, why is it even there? But I love it. I love it.
Why
every
is
time.
This floppy disk important? Oh man, it's wrecking me right now.
Or the or like the one with the two like children's characters, I guess you'd call them.
Creepy ones. Oh yeah.
Yeah, and it gets like super like esoteric and disturbing like the further and further it goes. It's just like, good lord, you guys, what did you do?
Yeah, it's good. We'll talk about it next week. Yeah. Justin, what have you been playing this week?
So I was like, before I talked about what I've been playing, when Zach was talking about threes, I'm just gonna throw this in the old chat here, because the team behind threes announced a new game today. And you're basically a mouse battling creatures that have parts of their bodies have numbers on them, and it's called Beast Breaker.
I'm watching the trailer live.
Yes. But it was funny, as soon as you brought that up, I was like, I thought you might have seen it too. I was like, dude, like, they just announced a new game today too, with the new studio or whatever. Since Threes was originally just one guy, but now
A whole Vodio team. Games or whatever they're called. But yeah, I'm watching it now, and I'm gonna be about this life. I can tell already.
And I think it's even coming to Apple Arcade too.
It's definitely coming to PC and Switch, so I will be playing this, because it looks like there's power ups, like different things you can do. Yes. Let's go.
I like the animation style too. It looks pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it has a cute kind of art style to it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so for what I've actually been playing this week though, Record of Lodoss War, Wonder Labyrinth, the really long game that I brought up the other.
Yeah, I was gonna say you. 2 weeks ago, you talked about this one?
Yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it finally came out. Like, the full game came out, I think, on, like, the 26th or something like that. Because up until that point, it was on Steam Early Access. And the game wasn't done. You can only play up to, like, Chapter 4 or Stage 4 or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so once it fully released, you got Stages 5 and 6. So I went in and was able to finish the game. Absolutely loved it. The final boss was a dick. Like, once you figured out like what you had to do, like, I got wrecked probably like 4 times, and then once I figured out like, oh, like how to dodge like certain moves, I was like, okay, I'm like, this is definitely doable. I was just like being stupid about it. But it was very great. It scratched that Metroidvania itch that I've been having. And all in all, I think the game, it only took me, I think, a little over like 5 hours to beat. So it's not, and I 100%ed the map. So it's not super long, but it's kind of nice because, you know, you think of like I don't need to go through the castle upside down or a bunch of like filler shit. Like, it does what it does, and it does it well. So it doesn't like drag on for too long trying to like just add additional content where it's not needed. and it was really fun. And then the only other thing that I played was the final DLC for Binding of Isaac came out as well, which I'm a huge Binding of Isaac fan, and it's coming to console and Switch and other places, I think, like later this year, but it just came out on Steam, and they basically added like a bunch of new, like over 25 new bosses, like hundreds of new items and rooms and like combinations for stuff, and like a bunch of like, they took a bunch of like the shittier items from Binding of Isaac and made them like better and stuff, and work like additional abilities. So it's like, and they made it so you get, you feel more powerful more of the time. Like you, I, since I've played, I probably did like at least a dozen different runs, and I maybe only had one or two where I felt like, I was like, oh man, like I got gypped on items and stuff, and everything else, I was like, yes, like it's where you beat it and you're like, dude, I wish I could have kept going because I had such a good run going. And so that's really cool. So I've been waiting for that for a while. And what's interesting about it is it initially started out as a fan mod, is what it was for the original Repentance and stuff. It was actually a fan mod, and Edmund McMillan, the creator of Binding of Isaac, liked it so much that he actually worked with the people who did the mod to make the official DLC for the game, which is pretty cool that they got them like involved and stuff, and they made certain things fully came over, and then other stuff kind of got tweaked and stuff, and for the actual DLC release of the game. But
I just think it's crazy that that game has been around for as long as it has, and like continues to put out DLC and has such a huge following.
Dude, well, it's just funny because I remember when the original Flash version of the game came out back in 2009, and I loved it. And I think about like what it is like now in comparison to just the tiny little like $2 Flash game that was on Steam. And it's like, dude, it's, there's times where it's like, I have an app on my phone with all the different items and stuff, because there's times where I'm like, dude, I've never seen that item before. It's like, it's so rare to see that it's like, I forget what it is. So I'm like sitting there on my phone, like, dude, is this going to kill my run if I grab this? So I have to like sit there, I'm not touching that until I know exactly what that does, because I don't want to like nerf my shit.
Awesome. But yeah.
I agree with Shannon. It's insane to me like how much people still play that game like to this day. But it never grabbed me, though. I've tried it a few times. Just never got its hooks in me. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But I'm happy you're enjoying it, Justin.
Oh, thank you.
No problem. So I guess at this juncture, we are going to enter into spoiler land. So beware, there be spoilers. We're going to talk Falcon Winter Soldier Episode 3. So if you have not seen it and don't want the spoilers, thanks for listening. And we'll catch you next week. But, gentlemen, let's talk about what is easily been the best episode of this run so far. I mean, I don't think it's even close.
Well, first I want to hear, Shannon, has your views on the show changed at all?
This episode's brought me back in. I'm not going to lie. I was a little worried after episode 2. But you know, them meeting up with Baron Zemo and getting Sharon back in the mix, and you know, just the sheer amount of action. Also, that Madripoor is, I'm debating on whether they, you know, went super deep with it and were like, oh, are we going to like, you know, there, are they setting up like Wolverine to enter like into like the MCU now? Like, you know, because I think that's where he was kind of like, hiding out for a long time.
Madripoor is huge with the X-Men.
Yeah. So like, I'm kind of like, okay, like, you know, let's see where this leads. But you know, most of the time Marvel does stuff, or like, you know, even with like WandaVision, I think like the directors kind of overshot like a lot of things that we were looking at. So I don't know if it's just a location that's been in the MCU that they're like, okay, yeah, like we're just going to kind of put this in here, as a good filler spot. But Sharon's battle scenes were awesome. Like they were like gritty and like, you know, they had like a, like a, I don't know. There was just like this gritty feel to it. Like it was just, it wasn't like a, you know, an art, like a superhero battle, you know, it was just like an average Joe, like having to struggle and fight and protect. And, there was something about it I liked. I feel bad that she got blacklisted the way that she did. And I don't know why the only thing that really kind of bugged me about it is that, like, you know, she kept making a big deal about how she got blacklisted, and now she's like this, she works in the black market, like selling like art like real art, while like the forgeries are in museums. I was like, okay, well, you know, Miss High and Mighty, like, do the right thing. Now you're like a smuggler.
Peddling art to mobsters.
Yeah, but other than that, like, I thought it was a great episode. I wanted to see more of it. I just, you know, there's three episodes left. So, like, there's a little voice in the back of my head saying, there's three episodes left. What are they going to do now? What do you guys think?
Justin, why don't you go first?
So, I just want to say right now that as soon as that episode aired in my group chat with my friends, I had a GIF of Zemo in the club doing his little fist pump, and I hadn't seen the episode yet, and I was like, I already love whatever's happening here, like, so we're in for a treat. But I thought it was really good. They're definitely like you're getting to see that that kind of darker side of the new Captain America, where it's like he's kind of getting pushed to his like limit of, well, they're not going to care how it gets done as long as it gets done mentality.
I think that's the thing that separates him from like a Steve Rogers, is this guy is a soldier. Like, you know, he has the mentality of like, this is war. Rules don't really count in war. We're getting this done. And, but I think they're setting up like the whole, like, don't you know who I am? Like part, you know, yeah. I think they're setting up the fact that he's going to take the serum in order to, like, in his mind, gain the respect he needs to be Captain America. Like, well, I got to be strong like Steve then in order to do this. And that's how he's going to like Jedi mind trick himself to making it okay to take the super soldier serum or something.
Yeah, I would also say that, like, it is, like you were alluding to, like, nobody respects him. Like, everybody just thinks he's, like, a knockoff Captain America. I mean, even when the dude spits in his face, like, nobody would have done that to the Steve Rogers dude. Like, no. Nobody. But, yeah, he was only in the episode for, like, 2 minutes tops. And then he was just, like, kaput. Like, I don't think he was in, like, the rest of the episode.
I saw on one thing where they're, like, one site had a write up where it was like, I think they must have blown all their money in the first two episodes, because this was like, there was no wings, there was no shield. Bucky had his arm covered up most of the time. Like, it was just like, there was like no special effects except for the explosions and the containers. That was it throughout the whole episode.
I was gonna say, I think when he was in like full Winter Soldier mode, like, you know, when he was in the bar like wrecking people, like, I mean, there were a couple shots where his arm was there, but like, yeah, I mean, for the most part, very low budget as far as
or did Bucky seem to enjoy himself there a little too much?
Yeah,
like he was real comfortable when he said soldier attack. Yeah, he fell back in that mode real fast.
Well, yeah, and you know that's something that's going to get brought. Even Sam multiple times is like, bro, like, you good? Because you're kind of falling back into the old swing of things there.
But even that little callback at the end when, like, Zemo pulls up in that Pontiac and, like, what's his name? The Winter Soldier sits in the front seat and then Falcon's sitting in the back seat. He goes, you're not going to move the seat up, huh? And he goes, nope.
Yeah, nope. Good little callback to the Winter Soldier there. This episode made me uncomfortable because I really like Baron Zemo. He's awesome. I love that character so much, and I think the actor playing him does it so well. And he like threads that needle of, it's like the Loki needle of like, okay, this guy's committing atrocities. Like, this guy killed King T'Chaka and, like, blew up the UN and single-handedly almost destroyed the Avengers. And I'm sitting there like, but he's kind of a fun guy. I don't know. He seems all right. Like, I like him.
they did a good job, like, making him be, like, somebody that you like to watch, but also know that you're not supposed to like him. They, like, make you feel guilty about that. And I think they did a really good job in this episode, but I am interested to see how, or like, you know, why all of a sudden the people from Wakanda are there to bring Zemo back.
They killed King T'Chaka.
Like, I know, but like,
Wakanda ain't forgetting. You know, I mean, like
it's, it just seems like it's like pretty, like they were in the know pretty fast, you know?
Like, so maybe you guys caught it. I didn't. Can someone tell me how the hell Zemo got the thing in his book that let him ultimately break out?
I think it was implied that Bucky basically slipped it to him.
But like, how? It's a plexiglass wall. Like, that was the thing where all of a sudden he's got this thing, and I'm like, how the hell did he get that?
I'm assuming, well, it's like, my thing is like, how did like they even get like a meeting with him in the first place? Like, so I think Bucky has like some connections. Like, I think that guard, I think basically he got that guard or whatever that like initially walked by, like got them to that point and like walked by to give him, you know, the card or whatever. Because Bucky obviously orchestrated the entire breakout, because he was like, well, okay, well, hypothetically, like, what if?
Yeah,
so Bucky obviously pulled something or whatever to get him out, but
I mean, that was the one part of the whole sequence where I'm like, wait, he just has that? What just happened? You know? I don't know. But I did like the prison break sequence. I thought that was fun. I'm always in for a good prison break sequence or prison break movie. Like, I always love those. I'm in every time. Like, I'm an easy mark in that regard. But we get to see the mask, the Baron Zemo mask. I like that they just made him Baron Zemo. It's like, no, you're he's royalty. He's rich. Like, don't worry about it. Like, he's Baron Zemo, like straight up. And he even different from the comics, because in my memory, he wears the mask in the comics because his face gets all jacked up fighting Captain America. And so, like, he covers his face with the mask. But this made it seem like it's, like, family lineage, the mask. You know, he found it in the old-timey car. And it's like, oh, time to assume the mantle. It's my turn. Which I thought was kind of interesting. So I want your guys' thoughts, because it seems that through three episodes now, and WandaVision, it seems like they're setting up the Young Avengers, right? Like, you've got, at this point, you have Scarlet Witch's kids, you've got, well, I know they've casted Cassie for Ant-Man, Ant-Man's daughter, you've got Isaiah Bradley's grandson, who answered the door, Eli, I think his name is, who's, you know, potentially super soldier. So it seems like they're setting it all up. With Zemo getting such a big role in this one, are they setting up a Thunderbolts? Because that's where I came away from this episode going, like, I really want a Thunderbolts movie with this guy being the lead. Like, that's what I want.
I was reading an article today from, like, Screen Rant or someplace like that, but they were saying that there are no works at this time for anything like that. So that's kind of a bummer. But
they seem to be putting a lot of villains on ice. You know, like Ghost, Harkness. You know, they brought Zemo out of the cooler for this one. It's like, you could throw the Beetle in there and some of these, you know, C and D tier villains that made up the Thunderbolts. It's like, possibly. I just want a Thunderbolts movie. I love this character and I want more of it.
Because they're like definitely like laying the groundwork for it to become a possibility in the future. Because my thing is, like, I guarantee you this ends with, like, Zemo, like, you know, escaping or going his own way. Mm-hmm. He's not going back to prison. Oh, so no. It's one of those things where it's like, you know, with it being open-ended and him, like, obviously just being out there, like, at any point they could, you know, in, like, the next, like, wave of Disney shows or something, maybe set up, like, a Thunderbolts or something like that, or a Young Avengers or something.
Well, we're halfway through. We only got three episodes left to tie up a lot of loose strings, so.
Dude, and I do want to say one of my favorite parts in the entire show was when they board the plane and his, like, butler's so excited to see him. Yeah. And he's, like, talking about, he's, like, about, like, the spoiled food or whatever. He's like, oh, we could test it on them. Yeah. And he's just laughing. He's like, oh, I've missed you, master, or whatever. I'm like, dude, he, like, knows, like, what a sadistic fuck Zemo is, and he just loves him.
Yeah, that was great. Like I said, I would watch a whole show of just Zemo. Like, if you want to make the Loki show, but just Zemo, I'm down. Like, I would watch all that. I love that character. So one last thing I watched this week, I don't know if you guys did, Kong versus Godzilla, or Godzilla versus Kong. Did anyone catch it?
I am halfway through it.
All right. So you've made it through the naval fight?
That's where I'm at right now.
Oh, it's just starting? Well, okay, then I won't. We can talk. We can table this for next week, then.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I mean, like, this week, like, when I, because of Easter, like, I only really had one day to, like, sit down and do my gaming and my watching TV. And so, like, I chose to watch Falcon and Winter Soldier and Invincible. And then as I was watching Kong versus Godzilla, I fell asleep.
Well, I was going to say, unfortunately for you, you watch the half of the movie that has all of the talking.
Mm-hmm.
What I'll tell you is the second half of the movie you're about to watch, way less talking.
A lot of exposition and not a lot of action.
So, they didn't do as bad of a job as the 2014 Godzilla or King of the Monsters, where for whatever reason, they just felt the need to, like, exposition you to death about, like, why all of this shit is happening. And it's like, bro, the audience does not give a fuck. They want to see a big monkey hit a big lizard. Like, what? Like, I don't need to know about a hollow earth and, like, the history of Titans. Like, does the monkey hit the lizard really hard? Can I see that, please? Like, that's, and they basically kind of just figured it out that, like, less humans is better. And, it's not quite Pacific Rim level, but it's more in the Pacific Rim territory than, like, King of the Monsters was, for sure.
No, I mean, it's like, I could see it all coming together, because, like, I've seen, like, the big bad, like, I know who, like, the final, like, battle is going to be with, so I'm just kind of like, okay, let's get through this and, like, find out how, like, these two are going to work together to take out, like, the big bad guy.
Yeah. Well, and I've said on Twitter, and every time I've seen, either the movie or clips from it, I'm just shocked that they look as good as they do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, these movies look fantastic, and, like, they have since the 2014 Godzilla. Like, the visual style they've gone with and the animation style, it's like, it just looks stunning every time. And it's like, how have they put this much resources into Godzilla and King Kong?
But yeah, Godzilla is terrifying. Like, he is done proper. Like, especially in his standalone movie where they open the doors to the, they're underwater, mm-hmm. and he's swimming at them, and, like, all you see is, like, the pulses, like, when he's, like, swimming closer. I was like, that was eerie. I was like, okay, like, good job, guys. Like, that was a good shot.
Or when the final showdown with King Ghidorah in King of the Monsters, where they're basically, like, destroy Boston, but mm-hmm. That whole fight was just like, every shot of it is like Justin had said when we were talking about those movies before, they're wallpaper worthy. Like, every single shot of that fight is just like, holy crap, this is art, like, this is insane how good this is. So we should definitely talk about that, because that movie's a lot of fun, and I want to talk about it, so
yeah. I'll be finishing it up this week,
Justin. Yeah. You should watch it.
I will. Not only did I watch it, I watched it four times.
Oh,
so I have watched it numerous times.
I love it.
So
the shot in the naval fight when the plane takes off from the aircraft carrier is like an all time shot. Like, that is one of those, like, when I saw it, I, like, paused it and was like, holy shit, that was amazing. Like, look,
I did thoroughly enjoy it. The thing I didn't understand the most, which is not really spoiler, but it's just like the seven from Stranger Things, her and her dad's role is so fucking stupid in this movie. Yeah. Like, I was like, why even put them in the movie? Like, the dad's in it for maybe two scenes, and I'm like, his whole thing at the beginning is just, he's like, oh, well, Godzilla's against humanity again. Like, good people can go bad. And I'm like, motherfucker, you literally built a machine in the previous movie that pissed off kaijus, but it's unfathomable that, I don't know, some other asshole could take what you did and basically do the same fucking thing. Like,
and it seems weird that he attacked a tech company.
Yeah.
That's strange. Yeah.
So him being all like, oh no, he's gone bad again. I'm just like, dude, shut the fuck up, man. Like,
also, you know, conspiracy podcaster disappearing with two children across the world seems a little problematic. I'm just gonna throw that out there.
Like, but he, out of all the humans in this movie, the dude from Atlanta, him was my favorite. But he was great. Like,
yeah,
Doughboy
did good. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, him and the kid from Deadpool 2 or whatever, like, his little one-liners and stuff sometime were really funny.
Sorry, Paperboy, sorry.
Yeah, Paperboy.
I was confusing that with Poison Ivy, but yeah. But no, they were fun, but it was just the setup of it. I was like, that seems problematic.
Well, yeah, because it was just like them, like, okay, well, we're going to get them from point A to point B so this can happen, like... And her role was just to get to him anyway. I'm like, honestly, I could have done without her and just give me Deadpool 2 kid and fucking him going around. Like,
I should watch Deadpool 2 again. That movie's great. All right. Well, I guess we have a show. So, Justin, why don't you jump this thing like Kong does to an aircraft carrier? Why don't you get us on in here?
You know what, guys? Thank you for listening to another episode of That Pixel Life. If you guys have any logos, you know, I know we talked about it last week and stuff. I know I posted some up in the Discord and on the Facebook group. And I know, like Jordan said or whatever, that he had one or that he was working on. But, you know, send those, post them if you got them, you know, let us look at them. Let me know what you guys think of the ones I posted. I've gotten some like pretty good feedback and stuff on the couple that I did. So, you know, if you want to participate in that, you're more than welcome to. And on the Discord as well, we have the spoiler channel where we've been talking about Falcon and Winter Soldier, among other stuff. So if you feel so inclined, you can go in there if you want to continue your theories on what's going to happen in the next three episodes that we have left of Falcon and Winter Soldier. And give us a review on iTunes or wherever else you can review the podcast. Let us know what you think, how we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And if you haven't watched Godzilla vs. Kong, definitely recommend it. And Zach, if Robbie was here, what do you think Robbie would say?
Robbie would say, hey, guys. Go be great.
And peeps are garbage.
And peeps are trash.